Hey, this is Pastor Roy Barrett from Discover Life Church. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Now let's get ready to be transformed, have our hearts encouraged, and live the life God has created us to live. Enjoy today's teaching.
This is a big deal. Faith Forward Challenge. Today
yes.
is part one,
of
Faith Forward. We are saying, God, you know what? We're rejecting death. We're receiving life. We are receiving your promises, and we are moving forward in our faith in your word. And so today we're talking about faith forward in the word all week long for the next 21 days. Mm-hmm. We are going to be encouraging you in your faith. So you're going to look out for your email. The e-newsletter is coming forward. You
yes.
should get that on Tuesdays. Wednesday is a time of fasting and a Facebook check-in at 7. Thursday morning, the Jumpstart prayer call, and then on Saturday, the Faith Forward fitting rooms. Now, Saturday, the fitting rooms, you do have to register for that, and that's a time where this Saturday we're talking about Faith Forward through his word
yes.
at 11 o'clock. You do have to register because it is a Zoom
right.
connection, so I'm asking you to go to our website
mm-hmm.
at discoverlifega.org/faithforward, and you can get all of the information on the Faith Forward 21-day challenge, as well as register for the fitting rooms. All right, so if you got everything I just said or you plan to go to our website, I want you to give a thumbs up, give me something in the comment line, because we want to make sure
right.
that your faith is full, that your faith is not, we're turning the corner of the season. We are about to turn the corner
yes.
from August into September. We're about to turn the corner into fall. We're already turning the corner into school. And here's the thing, is that our God is a great God. So as we turn this corner, we're not turning it half full. Our faith isn't going to be half full, sludging along, kind of being dragged into the new season. No, we're going faith forward, full of faith, full of what of God's promises, full of knowing that he is faithful. The one who's called us is faithful.
Should I just go sit down
and
with
so,
you preach?
No, you may not, because you are preaching today. But I'm excited, and I want you all to get in, to engage and be involved. I know that as we are kind of traveling throughout our day and throughout our weeks, God is going to begin to put people on your heart, and just people that you might have seen as you were on site in church or people in your life, he's going to begin to put them on your heart and bring them to your mind. And I want to encourage you, as we are walking through this Faith Forward Challenge, don't just believe God for breakthrough in your life, but believe God for breakthrough in the lives of those around you. So as he puts somebody, he puts their face before your mind, you dream about them, he puts them in your heart, commit to praying for them. Commit to asking God to bless them and to show himself strong and faithful in their lives, because that's what we're doing for you, because we know he wants to do it. It is time for the people of God to stand up full of faith and go forward in that. So, faith forward. Go to our website.
Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. If you're taking notes, you want to underline fallen short. Since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us. In some translations, it'll be translated the gospel or the word of God preached to us, proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith or mix it with faith for those who obeyed. Go to the 6th chapter. The 6th chapter. Come on, chapter number 6. And while you're turning there, I just want to remind you, tag a friend, let them know we're about to get into this word. Chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. He wanted to make it very clear, very clear. Verse 18, it is impossible for God to lie. Now, go with me to the 10th chapter, and then we'll tie all this together. The 10th chapter, Hebrews 4, 1 through 2, Hebrews 6, 17 through 18, Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 39. Hebrews 10. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous will live by faith. Some translation says the just shall live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back or draws back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And so, again, today we're talking and we're launching a new growth. We don't even want to call it a campaign. Let's just say a growth challenge series, a new teaching series, a new growth opportunity for us to be stretched. And it's called Faith Forward. And today we're talking about faith forward in and through God's words and promises. Here is the theme as you're taking copious notes that I want you to really anchor in and be down and understand. God has given us faith as an instrument to navigate our lives towards the manifestation of his promises and our prayers. God has given us faith as an instrument to navigate us to the manifestation of his promises and our prayers. So we don't just follow God, we follow our faith in God. That's very important. That's very important. We don't just follow God, we follow our faith in God. We follow our confidence that God will keep his word and make good on his word. I can close up close up everything right there. When someone says, I'm following God, what they're really saying, I am following my confidence in the reality and in the sense that God can keep his word and God will make good on his word. That's what it means when somebody says they're following God. Now, and so the more I follow my faith, the more I am led into the blessings and breakthroughs that he has promised. So we're starting this new series called Faith Forward, because you and I got to recognize everything about our life relating to God, responding to God, receiving from God. I really want to take my time. Everything about our lives relating to God, responding to God, and receiving from God happens based upon our faith. So when I say faith forward, I am starting from the premise that you and I understand that faith is the expressway and the means of exchange between heaven to earth and earth to heaven. So we're saying faith forward because in our current society, we're flooded with information and images that will so easily cause us to fear. So we got to counter fear by making sure we're living not fear-based living, but faith-based. And faith-based living in God is to move forward with him in his prayer, in his purpose, in his promise for our lives. Now, let me give you two basic truths that frame our faith. Two basic truths that frame our faith, taken from those various scriptures in Hebrews. Number one, God cannot lie. Two basic truths that frame your faith and my faith. Number one, God cannot lie. Listen to me. Not that God won't lie, because won't implies the possibility. God won't lie. That implies that he could. There's the possibility. No, God cannot lie. Why? Because the hint, any hint, the smallest and slightest possibility that God can lie, he's disqualified from being God because he's bound by his own nature. We just sung during praise and worship. You're the living word. You're truth. So if he has the hint of being untruthful, he's no longer God. So what frames our faith is the fact that God cannot lie. Not that he won't lie, God just can't. He's bound to his own nature. He's bound to the very essence of who he is. Truth, light, reliability, hope. He's bound to his own nature. He can't lie. Number two, God has the power to do what he promises. You know, man makes promises and they don't have the goods to deliver or back it up. You know, we would make a promise and then try to work it out behind the scene. When God makes a promise, God already knows it's done because he has the ability, he has the power to back up everything that he's promises. His power is always attached to a promise. When God says it, God has already set things in motion to make good on his promise. And so what frames our faith are these two truths. Number one, God cannot lie. Number two, God has the power to do what he promises. This is what energizes. This is what encourages. This is what equips us in the confidence to know that we can move forward with God by faith. The fact that he cannot lie and he has the power to do what he promises. I'm going to pause right here to make sure I give you also this free of no charge. When I say faith forward, I'm not saying life is a straight line. I want to make sure. So when we say faith forward, we're not saying life is linear or life is a straight line. When we say faith forward, we are simply talking about advancing in cooperation and in the direction that God's will is taking us, in the direction that God's purpose has for our lives. So when we say faith forward, don't think linear that everything is a straight line, because faith forward may simply mean stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Faith forward may mean God's will says, I want to take you around some stuff. Faith forward may mean I want to take you over some stuff. Faith forward can mean I may need to take you through a valley for a short moment. Faith forward may mean I need to let some other people pass you by. Faith forward simply means you and I advancing, moving in the direction and the cooperation of God's promise. It's our divine call and mandate to come into full alignment and agreement with God's will, regardless of it not being logical, cultural, or traditional. Faith forward, coming into alignment and agreement with God's will, regardless if it's not logical, cultural, or traditional, because we know in the end it's the only way to our best life. Faith forward, we're coming into alignment and agreement with God's will, regardless of it not being logical, cultural, or traditional, because we know it's the only way to our best life. So we're moving in cooperation and we're moving in the direction of his promises. Faith forward starts with our acceptance that moving by faith in God and moving by faith with God is how we make progress. You never make progress without stepping by faith. Oh, gosh. I'm teaching better than the way y'all commenting online. There's no such thing as progress if it wasn't a step of faith. It was a step of flesh, and God never rewards flesh. God rewards steps of faith. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Are y'all ready? Let's jump in. If I'm making sense, you're getting this, y'all got to let PK know. If you got questions, please type them and we'll come back at the end. Now, the book of Hebrews is a New Testament book, which means it's a book that is written after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And out of all the New Testament book, out of 27 books in the New Testament, this book is probably by far the only New Testament book that seemingly is an Old Testament book, because it is written from the perspective of using so many Old Testament images, illustrations, and innuendos that you would think it is actually an Old Testament book. So the author, who is anonymous, even though we attribute it to the Apostle Paul, the anonymous author uses Hebrews to show us and remind us that everything about our life is a walk of faith, because we are trusting the promise of God. We're trusting the fact that God doesn't lie, and we're trusting the fact that God makes good on his promise. And so everything about Hebrews is telling us that God promises, and now you got to accept that promise by faith, and God is going to make good on it. And so when we get here, he's using the story of the Israelites who are in slavery for 420 plus years. God takes them through the wilderness because he promised to bring them into the promised land. And he says some of them came up short. Some of them came up short. Some of them came up short. They got out of Egypt, but they died in the wilderness. They didn't go all the way into the manifestation of God's promise and the manifestation of their prayers. They came up short. I want to tell you right now, you are not going to come up short. You're not going to come up short financially. You're not going to come up short in your business. You're not going to come up short in your marriage. You're not going to come up short in your dreams. You're not going to come up short in your parenting. You're not going to come up short in your business. You're not going to come up short in your health. You're not going to come up short in your breakthrough. You are not of those who draw back. You're not of those who fall back. You're not of those who dumb down, water down, step down. You are those who press on and go into the manifestation because you are faith forward. If you got me, I want you to type, say, I'm faith forward. Just put it in the comment line. I'm faith forward. Faith forward. I am faith forward. All right, let's go. So now, to be faith forward, there are just four practices, four perspectives I'm going to share with you. Just four of those. I want you to put in the comment line. I can glance every now and then. I am faith forward. I'm faith forward. Just say, I'm faith forward. I want to give you four practices, four perspectives that you and I must have if we're going to be faith forward. Again, this is about you and I moving in the direction and cooperation with God's purpose, God's promises. And you may say, okay, it's moving with God's will, moving with the Holy Spirit. I got it. All of those are together. All of those are working together for your good. To be faith forward, it is moving with the Holy Spirit. It's moving with the presence of God. It's moving with the purpose of God. It's moving with the will of God. All of those are the ingredients for you and I advancing into the manifestation of what God has promised. Am I talking to anybody who's waiting on manifestation? Maybe I need to pause. Am I talking to someone who's waiting on the manifestation of some prayers, of some prophecies, of some prophetic words, of some promises, God? Not just in your life, but maybe in your kid's life, maybe in your loved one's life, maybe for your marriage, maybe for your business. If I'm talking to you, just raise your hand in the comment line and say, that's me. I'm waiting on manifestation. Here's the encouraging word. If he promised, he's going to do it. If he promised, he's going to do it. If he promised, he's going to do it. So if I'm going to be faith forward, though, I'm going to give you four truths that you and I must embrace. Again, if you have questions, I want you to just go ahead and type them, because I love to make sure you're getting God's word, not just preaching. Some preachers get intoxicated just off preaching. I love to make sure you're getting it. So that's why we're going to make sure we have a Q&A time. Number one, if I'm being faith forward, I must protect my reverence of God. I must protect my reverence of God. Because in the fourth chapter, he says, be careful. One translation says, be fearful, be careful. He's not talking about a fear that is rooted in being terrified of God, a fear that makes you and I cower down. It's actually a fear that speaks of a boldness, a sense of confidence. He says, if you and I are going to be faith forward, we got to protect our reverence of God. Why do we need to protect our reverence? Because he gave us an example. Because there was the Israelites who God brought out of Egypt and had them in the wilderness and was leading them to the promised land, but they did not keep their sense of respect or admiration of God. In other words, God became too common. I'm going to say it again. God became too common. What God did for them, the feeding with the manna, water from a rock, all the provisions, all the miracles, they started taking God for granted. And whenever you and I start taking God for granted, what we do that we don't even know we're doing, we start advancing backwards from God, because we're not walking with God by faith. Now we're walking with God based upon familiarity. And people in our lives that we're familiar with, we have no expectation for the best from them, because familiarity comes to always devalue who a person is. When you take your spouse for granted, you don't value them like you used to. So that's why you don't say thank you anymore. That's why we don't appreciate the small things. And so what happens is, if I am going to move forward, faith forward, I got to protect my sense of appreciation and admiration and not become too familiar with God. Listen to me. I got to stay thankful and grateful for the smallest things God do in my life. The smallest. See, here's how you know you and I have lost our awe for God. Because we don't even stop to pause in the morning when he wakes us up to say thank you. We just take it for granted that I'm going to lay down and then I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to wake up. So there's not even the pause. Familiarity robs us of a faith that stays buoyant and vibrant in God. I wrote this down in my notes, and I know you're going to, it'll bless you. Watch this. We're talking about moving forward. We only move forward in connection and expectation towards those we respect and admire, those we value their presence and influence. You never move forward with anyone you don't respect, anyone you don't admire, anyone you don't appreciate. I'm going to say that again. None of us move forward with anyone we don't respect, admire, or appreciate. We like, there's no sense of appreciation. There's no sense of admiration. There's no sense that they add value to our lives. But you find someone that you respect, admire, and appreciate, you move forward to them, you move with them, you move about them. You do all things of moving because you respect them. Protect your reverence. Have God become too common for you? In a religious environment, has God become just like another person? If I am going to move faith forward, I got to stay thankful for the smallest things that God has done. He gave me food. I still have gas in the car. I have clothes. He protected me on the highway. What? Here you go. Man, my family left and came back home, and all of us are safe. Just a small, protect your awe. My wife and I, PK and I, have a saying, just keep your awe. Keep your awe of God. Man, I'm in awe. Old praise and worship song, I just stand in awe of you. Don't let life take away your awe of God. Keep your awe. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I'm appreciative. Protect your reverence so you can move forward. Number two, profit from hearing God's word. Talking about if I'm going to move faith forward, because see, I didn't say this at the beginning, and I want to make sure you're clear. I could have stood up here today and made the focus of the message all about, well, here you go. Let me just do that. Profit from hearing God's word. The scripture says the word did not profit them because they did not mix it or share it with faith. They did not mix it. It didn't profit them because they did not mix it or share it with faith. See, I could get up here and just make it all about the word of God in the context. You know, you could trust God because of his character, trust God because of his nature. The word of God is eternal. The word of God is trustworthy. It opened the eyes of the blind and make wise the simple. And I could have done all of that. Go to Psalm 119, you know, forever, O Lord, your word is settled and established. But what this verse shows us from chapter 4, number 2, it shows us that the issue is never going to be God's word. The issue is never going to be God's word. The responsibility part is on us to make sure that the word profits us or is advantageous in our lives. We just said God's word is the living word. So his word comes to us full of life to increase our faith, to build our faith, to give us a leverage in life, to give us an advantage of life. But if God's word is inherently powerful and has the ability to do all these things, why didn't it profit them? Because it wasn't mixed with faith. It wasn't mixed with faith. This is our part. God's word would never return void. This is our part. It's not that the message didn't do anything for you. The question is, did you hear the message with faith? Here you go. Free and no charge. Watch this. It matters how we hear from and how we hear about God. It matters how we hear from God, how we hear about God. So if God's word is going to profit me, I can't hear it carelessly or casually. I got to hear it with an expectation. Come on, guys. If God's word is going to profit me, I can't hear it religiously. It's Sunday, so let me just open up a Bible. I got to hear it with an expectation. Here's how I think about it. I got to hear God's word as if my life depends on it. Because you know what? It really does. Okay. I got to hear God's word as if my life depends upon it. And the truth is, it does. We live and we move in life and in God based upon our eagerness to hear from God. Ooh, teach, Pastor Roy, I think I will. We move in life based on what and how we hear from God. Here, do you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was being tempted by the devil? And the devil comes to him and he's been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You know he's hungry. And he turned these stones to bread. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it's actually translated every word that proceeds, a continuous decreeing and declaring, God speaking continuously. Jesus says, you live off what God continuously say. So in other words, some of us are malnourished in our faith because we're not living off the word with an expectation that, God, this is my life. This is your, God, you got to speak. I am dependent on you. God, you got to speak about my marriage because your words, and when Jesus looks at all these people leaving him in the gospel according to John, all the crowd left him, and he looks at the disciples and say, y'all going to leave us too? And Peter's like, where else are we going to go? Now, he's saying he thought about it. They thought about it. He said, where else are we going to go? You alone have the words that are spirit and life. In other words, Jesus, if I'm going to move forward in life, I got to live by what you say. If my life is going to be transformed, it's going to come from what you say. If my business is going to thrive, it's going to come from what you say. If my kids are going to reach their destiny, it's going to come from what you say. If I am going to fulfill the purpose you have for my life, it's come from what you say. So I can't just casually engage with your word. I got to make sure I am listening with an expectation so your word can profit and your word can give me advantage. Because it's never an issue of your word. It's an issue of how I'm hearing and listening. So if I'm going to move faith forward, then I got to profit from hearing God's word. I got to listen with an expectation. How do you listen for God's word? Casually? You know, one of the ways you can easily, take a self-test to see how you and I listen for God's word. Just ask yourself, what time do I get to church? Mm-hmm. I know. Don't turn me off. Don't tune me off. Stay right with me. Well, what does that got to do with? Because the lack of punctuality says there was no expectation that God is going to speak. There was no expectation that God is going to meet you. If service starts at 10:30, well, I just get there just in time for the word. You mean to tell me God is not speaking through praise and worship? How do you know God is not speaking through the song? How do you know a greeter or usher that's waiting to receive you wasn't the vessel that God was going to give you the word to encourage you? See, be careful. That's what I mean by taking God for granted. Be careful that you don't restrict God's word or God's voice to one person or one event or one way. Because now you won't be able to profit because you're thinking only Pastor Roy is going to speak to you. I appreciate your level of respect and honor towards me, but listen. God may use PK, Pastor Crystal. God may use a greeter or usher. Some of my most transformative moments didn't always come through somebody with a title. It came through somebody who had just yielded themselves to say, God, use me. That's why in this faith forward, God wants you to be his mouthpiece. Your prayers is going to help somebody move faith forward. Your availability to God is going to move your kids forward. It's going to encourage your husband, encourage your spouse, encourage your coworker, encourage your relative. So you and I got to make sure we're profiting from God's word. Number three, watch this. Number three, if I'm going to move faith forward, I must preserve my confidence. I must preserve my confidence in God. I must preserve my confidence because the writer says in Hebrews 10, and I want you to take good notes and lean in good with this. He says, do not cast off your confidence. Do not cast off. Do not throw away. Do not throw off, do not separate yourself, do not disconnect from your confidence in God. Listen to me, because some of you, I'm about to challenge you real fast. Do not throw away your confidence. So he is telling us we never lose confidence, we give our confidence away. Amen, lights. Amen, lights. With Jackson Scott III on there. Come on, church. We never lose confidence. We give our confidence away. Do not throw your confidence. He says, do not throw your confidence. So that implies I have freely released my confidence. Well, what causes us to throw away and to cast off our confidence? I'm glad you asked. Usually because we get tired of waiting, we get tired of wanting, and we get tired of warring or fighting. Weariness causes us to throw away our confidence. I'm tired of waiting on God. I'm tired of waiting on someone else to help me. I'm tired of waiting on someone to change. We get tired because we're tired of wanting. hope deferred makes the heart sick. I'm tired of waiting on this prayer request to be fulfilled. I'm just tired of wanting a bigger house. I'm tired of wanting better for my kids. I'm tired of wanting to know my purpose. We get tired of fighting, just the day-to-day struggle to just believe God. I'm just tired. And then we throw away our confidence. We throw away our confidence. And here's the deal. If I'm going to be faith forward, I got to keep my confidence, preserve my confidence, because when someone loses our confidence in them, we don't move to them or with them. Show me someone that doesn't have your confidence, and I'll show you someone that you don't move forward with. Not in heart. You may give the outward expression that you're walking with them, but if you don't have their confidence, it's kind of like, y'all know our sons are in sports. And so oftentimes in sports, if a coach don't have confidence in a player, the player's not kicked off the team. The player just doesn't get the responsibilities that they're accustomed to having, the privileges they're accustomed to having. Now, I'm saying in life, when you lose confidence with someone, you may not kick them out of your life, but you know what happens? You stop giving them the privilege of intimacy. You stop giving them the privilege of your time. You stop entrusting them with the responsibility of your prayer requests because they don't have your confidence. And if I am going to be faith forward, I got to preserve my confidence. How do I preserve my confidence? Here's a good way. Continue to practice the discipline of testifying. Continue to practice the discipline of testifying. What do you mean testifying? I'm not talking about standing in a church. I'm talking about your own testimonial to yourself. Record what God has done. Journal. Y'all know I've said it before. My wife, PK, is a master journaler. We got books and books and shelves and boxes of journals and journals and journals and journals from college, from our early years in marriage. It's just whole shelves, boxes of just journaling. Record what God has done. Rehearse what God has done. Many times the children of Israel would say, God, you did this. It is written that through Moses, you did this. Through the prophets, you did this. And then they would rehearse it. God, we're mindful. We remind ourselves of who you are and then retell it. Tell it to who? Tell it to yourself. Sometimes you need to be the main candidate to hear your testimony. You need to stand in the mirror and say, give not unto God, go Baptist. You need to be in the mirror sometimes and look in the mirror, look at yourself and go old school Baptist. You need to stand in there and be just like Chef Marcus Kirkland, Cousins, and you need to look in the mirror and tell yourself, give not unto God, who's the head of my life. I want to thank him for last night laying down that my bed wasn't my cooling board. I didn't die. I want to thank him that I'm on this side of the dirt. And while the blood is running warm in my vein, I want to praise the Lord because I got to run with everything inside me, because 99 and a half just won't do. You need to be mindful. I remember when God delivered me from that last situation. I remember how God answered that prayer. I remember the last time I lost my job, God sustained me. And now this time facing a furlough and unemployment, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will do it again. Listen to me. A testimony is the remembrance of a past victory to encourage you in present frustration, to give you hope for your future. Don't ask me what I said. Don't ask me what I said. A testimony is, watch this, it is the remembrance, because you recorded it, you retained in your mind, of a past victory, deliverance, and success that God gave you to encourage you in your present frustration so you can move forward with confidence. Because if he did it then, he'll do it again. You remember when Saul told David, you can't fight Goliath. You can't fight him. He's been trained all his life. And David says, I remember when I fought a lion, God delivered. Testimony. I remember when a bear came, God gave me the victory. Testimony. See, watch this. God always give you a lion and a bear testimony in the face of your Goliath. Oh, my gosh. See, God always gives you a situation that's a bear and that's a lion as encouragement to let you know that when you stand before your Goliath, if I did it with them, do you not think I'm going to deliver you in the face of this uncircumcised Philistine? But that means you got to keep, that's how you keep your confidence. Testify. When is the last time you testified to yourself about what God would do. Not waiting on someone to prophesy, lay hands, but you testified yourself and said, God can do this. God got this. Get your own oil. Lay hands on your own head and say, self, that's it. See, I feel stuck right here now. See, that's what David did in the Psalms. David had to say to himself, soul, why are you downcast, oh my soul? And then he looked back at himself. Hope thou in God? Yes, I will. You got to encourage yourself. Just like Job says, man, I'm going through a hard time. Though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. You're going to have to keep your own confidence. You don't lose confidence. We give our confidence away because we get tired. And if you're weary, I want to let you know, testify. Testify. Testify, Chorus, to yourself. Testify, Shahida, to yourself. Testify, Eunice, to yourself. Testify, Marcus. Testify, Jackson Scott. Testify, Boki. Testify, Norman. Testify, whoever you are, to yourself. That if God brought me this far, he ain't brought me this far to leave me. He's going to see me through. Here's the last one. Well, I put it this way in my notes and pointing them up underneath my confidence. The better I remember, the greater my confidence to move forward. The better I remember, the better I won't forget. The better I remember, the greater and the stronger my confidence to move forward. See, the reason I don't want to move forward and the reason a spirit of timidity and reluctance comes in is that I have forgotten what God has done. But the more I remember, the bolder I get in my faith. Oh, God. See, now I'm about to get happy in an empty church. The more I remember, the stronger my faith rises up. The more I remember how God delivered. The more I remember how God provided. The more I remember how God sustained. My faith swells up and I start taking bold steps because I know what God has done. The last one, press, 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 press beyond all opposition. Press beyond all opposition. Because he says, you need to persevere because after you've done the will of God, you get your reward. Persevere. Number one, if I'm going to be faith forward, I got to protect my reverence. Don't take God for granted. Number two, profit from hearing the word of God. Listen with expectation. Number three, preserve my confidence. Don't throw it off no matter how tired you get. Keep your confidence, testify. Number four, press beyond all opposition because you need to persevere. Hear me. Watch this. You need to persevere. You don't need perseverance if there is not opposition. Ah, come on, people. You don't need perseverance if there is not opposition. If there is not the opportunity to quit. If there is not the opportunity to just say, you know what? We call it stay and quit. If to just simply say, I'm going to stop believing. I'm going to come to church, but I don't really believe anything. You don't need perseverance if there's not opposition. We don't have faith to stay comfortable. We have faith to fight off the feelings and the emotions and the thoughts that encourage us to quit. See, we don't have faith to get comfortable. We have faith to negate, to reject, and to rebuke those thoughts, feelings, and emotions that says throw in the towel, give up. It ain't going to happen. You've been waiting. You've been warring. You've been wanting this long. It ain't going to happen. We have faith to persevere over all that opposition that's saying draw back from God. No, we got faith that says I'm going to press beyond all the conflict and the contradictions and the oppositions that's telling me to shut down emotionally, mentally, to check out. Because watch this. As long as I keep pressing what God would do, God will convert my opposition into an opportunity to see his faithfulness. My contradictions become confirmation that God got me. There are some things you would never know about God in yourself until you get on the other side of contradiction. There are some things you would never know about God until you get on the other side of the opposition. That's why you got to press. You need to see the faithfulness of God. You got to press through the face of opposition. And on the other side, you go like, man, why did I waste that time doubting and second guessing? God always rewards our faith forward steps. Always. God always rewards our faith forward steps. Press beyond your feelings. Press beyond your frustrations. Press and move forward into what God has purpose and promise. Here's the big so what. Woo. Here's the big so what. We walk by faith because a faith walk is the only way we live. We walk by faith because a faith walk is the only way we live. It's the only way we know how to live is to live by faith. Now, this week, read Hebrews 11 chapter. I want you to read it every day in a different translation. You can go to crosswalk.com. It gives you a multitude of translations. BibleGateway.com gives you a multitude of translations. Read Hebrews 11 every day in a different translation. Memorize Numbers 23:19. Memorize Numbers 23:19. Now, because we're starting this Faith Forward campaign, I want you to go to the DLC page, and even in the e-blast this week, you're going to have an opportunity to join the Faith Forward Facebook page. It's going to be a private group. I want you to join. Everybody, I don't know how many of us are watching, everybody go to the Facebook page for DLC. It's going to be in the e-blast, and you can join the private group. It's going to be the Faith Forward private group. And not, when I say join, I don't simply mean join, and then we don't see you for 21 days.
Join and visit.
Join and participate and engage. What's the purpose of joining? Because over these 21 days on that page, that in this group, we're going to be encouraging each other. We're going to be sharing praise reports. We're going to be sharing prayer requests. We're going to be mutually encouraging each other through these 21 days of stretching our faith, refining our faith, restoring our faith. So I want you to join it, and I want you to be a part of it. So go to the private group, and then finally, I want you to take one faith step this week. Take one faith forward step this week. So memorize Numbers 23:19. Join the group. I want to see everybody engage in that private group. Everybody engage. Share from your weekly readings. What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord showing you? What is the Lord doing for you? How is God using you? And let's encourage each other in the faith journey. Amen. Amen. Do I have any questions?
Man, actually, no, I don't have any questions. I think that, including myself, everybody was just throwing shoes at you. This was a word that I believe was just so timely for what God is doing in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so I did write a couple, but they would come from the people. Mm-hmm. Just some practical ways that we can ensure that God's word would profit in our lives.
Listen intently. Listen expectantly. And I know that's broad. So here's one. Keep a clean and clear heart.
Okay, that's good.
Don't have bitterness in your heart. Don't have unforgiveness, because that clouds your hearing. So keep a clean heart. Forgive people. Release people. Practical ways is engage in community and corporate worship.
That's good.
Because if you're passive in service, you're going to be passive with your listening.
Okay.
So the more you engage, the more you cause, watch this, your flesh to go down and your heart to be more open to God. It's something about engagement. It's something that engaging would do that passivity would never allow you to experience in God. So those are just some practical ways. Sing out loud. Pray out loud.
That's good.
Because as you hear songs of praise, songs of worship, as you hear your own prayer requests, that causes you to become more intense, because you're hearing what God is doing, you're
That's
hearing
good.
The possibility of God, and it increases your expectation for the word to profit you more.
That's good. And even just to add to that, making sure that we don't just hear the word and forget about it, but we continue to meditate on
meditate,
this word.
Yes.
Meditate. If you know, we're hearing a word on faith and and begin to sing songs that speak to faith.
Yes,
begin
exactly.
to list, you know, go back into the passages of the scripture on faith. Like, just begin to add to it. You know, they talk about layering flavors. Layer God's word with his truth over and over in different aspects of your life. So just the last one, and then we can, you know, go on. But you talked about casting off our confidence and if we're weary to testify to ourselves.
Yes.
And so I know that one of the reasons why you wanted to make sure we had opportunities to engage throughout the week during this particular campaign, or this particular challenge, is so that we could post testimonies. Can you speak a little bit more to that and how important it is to not only testify to ourselves, but also share the testimony so that other people can overcome?
Remember, watch this. You're reading a book or online, the Bible. We say Old Covenant, New Testament, Old Testament. Old Testimony, New Testimony. You're reading a very book that's rooted in testifying.
That's good.
You're reading something that literally speaks to an Old Testimony a new testimony. And every substantial defining miracle that you would see in the Old Testament was always captured by some expression of testimonies. You remember when Joshua and the people come out of the Jordan River, get 12 stones as a memorial. There's always build an altar was another response. Why? Because God even told them, it's not for you only. It's going to be for future generations. So God is always in the business of sharing a testimony so that when you get weary, you got, man, what do you have in your house that reminds you of what God has done?
That's good.
See, sometimes we decorate our house with everything except for a stone of remembrance. So that when you get frustrated, you don't have anything in your house to remind you that God can.
That's good.
So what's in your house to remind you that God can and God will? What's in your house? What's in your office? What do you have about your kids? You need something in your house that speaks to, man, yeah. I carry something in my computer bag, and I got things at the house that lets me know, man, yeah. So when I get into times where it's hard to believe God, here's a stone of remembrance about his faithfulness.
That's good.
Here's a stake, a real stake, wooden stake that was given like in 2006 about God enlarging the territory. So what do you have to remind you of God's faithfulness? I know I'm almost out of time.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, that is so true. And I can testify that you do carry things that remind you of his testimony. And we put, you know, the screensavers are strategic on our phones at times because they remind us of what God is doing in our lives and what we're believing him for.
Let me say this. Watch this. Here's why it's important. A testimony reminds you of how God treats you. And if you remember how God treats you, then you would never be tricked by the enemy.
That's good. That's good.
Trick or treat. I'm going to say it again. A testimony reminds us of how God treats us. Mm-hmm. And the more you know how God the more I know how God treats me, the less I can be tricked by the enemy.
That's good.
Because
that's
the treatment of God,
that's good,
to the ability that I know God treats me, it diminishes my ability to be tricked by the enemy. The reason I'm so easily tricked out of the blessing from the blessings by God is because I have forgotten how God treats me.
That's good.
So if you want to minimize being tricked, increase your remembrance on how God treats you.
Amen. Amen.
I feel something on me.
Amen.
I feel like I can tell y'all right now, go to the refrigerator, get you another cup of juice, and let's come back for part two. Let's have evening revival now.
Evening revival.
Evening revival right now.
Well, no, that is absolutely truth.
Mm.
Truth of God's word. So we pray that you were blessed this morning, that you would take this word. Don't just log off, sign off, cut your device off and close your Bible. But stay in God's word. Continue to come back to it. This video will stay both on YouTube and on Facebook for as long as we're up here. And so we encourage you to continue. Go back to it. Listen to it again. Listen to his word over and over again. Take the scriptures and study them for yourselves and see if what the pastor has said is truth.
Yes.
So we encourage you to delve in
there
and see what God wants to say to you through his word. So we thank you for joining us this morning. Don't forget that to read Hebrews 11. Don't forget to, you know, read Hebrews 11, memorize Numbers 23, and don't forget to join us in our Faith Forward Challenge. Go to our Facebook page, discoverlifega.org/faithforward. Join us this for the next 21 days and beyond, but let's launch in there.
Yeah, and I know we're over time. I just feel such a compelling of God for each of you to remind you. These 21 days is going to be very significant in helping us grow in our faith individually and corporately. So this, it's not just about a Sunday message. That's just one part of it. You guys have a great leadership team, those directors and elders, and they are not just talking about a Sunday message. That's just part of it. That's just my part. I'm honored for the Sunday message. But the e-blast is going to be designed to feed your faith.
Amen.
The Wednesday night check-ins at 7 o'clock on the DLC Facebook page. It's only 30 minutes. The jumpstart call on Thursday mornings at 6. Kids are in school, so you're going to might as well get up early. Come on. Let's stretch ourselves.
That's
and
right.
Then the Saturday mornings fitting rooms at 11. come on, let's get on. It's only going to be for 1 hour. Let's go after God hard. Let's not be casual. Let's not be passive. Let's go hard, intense, faith forward, so that the end of 21 days, your faith went from one level to the next level. And so I'm going to be pushing us with that. Some of us are starving for faith food.
That's real.
Not fast food. But you're starving for faith food, messages, teachings, and opportunities that feed your faith. And so thank you so much. Be praying as I got two. It's only 3 weeks. So this was one down, two more weeks to go outside of all the things that's going to happen this week. So be praying for, remember, Pastor, to be praying that I hear intently from God to give you messages that build your faith on a weekly basis. But again, we're all in this together. So I'm asking your help to encourage one another.
Amen.
We're going to be praying in private as well as in public. Now, here's one way you can encourage me. If you're listening right now, I simply want at the end of this broadcast, I don't want you just run. You can run around your house when you and shout, hit your organ music or whatever. You can do all that. Yes. But when we end this broadcast, the first thing I want you to do is share this message on your Facebook page. That's the very first thing. That's a faith forward. I want you to, we're going to end it. The first thing you're going to do is share it on your page. Just share it out on your page. Just share it out. Get the message of faith out, because the world and the news has given us the message of fear. Just send it out. Faith forward means we're going to throw faith forward. We're throwing faith to everybody. So that's your
that's
first
good.
Thing to do. Amen. When this message ends, just share it. Just share it and say, "We're faith forward," and let the message go out. And watch
Amen.
This. You don't know who this message may transform. You can even type a note. Join us in the campaign. Give them that information. Do all of that. But cast that net out. Throw your confidence out. Faith forward. That's the first thing I want you to do when this message ends. Father, thank you for this day. Seal this word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. We love you. Share it. I'm be watching
Sharing
you.
Sharing it now.
I'm coming to your house. No, I'm not. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. I pray you enjoyed today's teaching. Let's keep in touch by subscribing to the Discover You podcast. Be blessed.